After the session, and the first talk is by Stefan Belby about Komarov Seidel, Weaver Algebras, and Boldel Clair Komarov. Welcome.
Hey, so first I would like to thank the organizers for organizing the conference and for inviting me. And I should also say that the things that I'm going to talk about today are from my joint work with Ellie Rixby and Stonia Root. And my talk, I basically want to discuss a certain relationship between Komarov-type homology theories and Hilbert-Fleur-type homology theories. So I guess I'll start by just saying a few words about ordinary Komarov homology and Hilbert-Fleur homology. So Komarov homology associates to every link in L3, some bimodal chain complex whose homology is linked to L3, and to a smooth cohortism between two links L and L' associates a linear map. And likewise, now Hilbert-Fleur homology is invariant for closed oriented free manifold. So given some closed oriented free manifold, it associates some homology group, and this homology group splits according to spin C structures. So it has kind of this spin C grading on it, and in each spin C grading, there is a secondary grading, which is a relative homological grading, which is called the Nassau grading. So it's kind of vibrating too. So both this one of the homology are vibrating. And then to a four-dimensional cohortism between two three manifolds, Hilbert-Fleur homology associates linear map between the three manifolds. And I should say that actually this map depends on the choice of the spin C structure of the four manifolds. So basically, in this so in this line here, all manifolds are assumed to be equipped with spin C structures, which are compatible with each other. And then we have, of course, the Komarov homology is a characterization of the Jones polynomial. So the graded Euler characteristic is just the Jones polynomial. And on the other hand, Hilbert-Fleur homology is a categorification of the relative Alexander polynomial that Kvenoil mentioned yesterday in his talk. Okay. So these two theories have some differences. For example, Komarov homology is a combinatorial theory, whereas Hilbert-Fleur homology is defined through intersection Fleur homology. So basically, the differential in the Hilbert-Fleur complex is defined by Kalman pseudo-homomorphic disks. So it's, a priori, it's a non-combinatorial theory. But the two theories also have a lot of things in common. For example, both theories are related to gauge theory. It's known due to Rofkin-Kronheimer that there's a spectral sequence starting at Komarov homology and converging to singular instanton non-Fleur homology, which is a homology theory which is generated by certain flat connections on the knot complement. And on the other hand, Hilbert-Fleur homology is related or actually equivalent to cyber-grid monopole Fleur homology. And so both theories are related to gauge theory, and both theories have also been used to reproduce certain applications of gauge theory. For example, we can use these theories to show that there are knots which are topologically sliced but not smoothly sliced. And today I don't really want to talk about the connections between these theories and gauge theory, but rather I want to talk about the connection between the two theories, between Komarov homology and Hilbert-Fleur homology. So the first explicit connection between these two theories was discovered by Ozhov and Sauber around 2003, I guess. What they realized is that if you have a link in S3, then there's a spectral sequence whose E2 term is the Komarov homology of the mirror image of the link, and which converges to the Hilbert-Fleur homology of the branch double cover of the three-sphere branch along the link. So when I use the notation, sigma of L, and I always mean the branch double cover of the three-sphere branch over the link L. And let me just briefly say what I mean by the branch double cover. So if you have a link, or let's say a knot in S3, let's say a trefoil knot, and you want to compute, or you want to construct this branch double cover, so you want to construct sigma k, then you can do this as follows. The first thing you do is you choose some ciphered surface for your knot. Let's call this surface F. And then you remove a regular neighborhood of the ciphered surface, so you consider S3 minus the neighborhood of the ciphered surface. And then you take two copies of this three manifold, so you take a second copy. and you glue the two guys around your boundary, and then you get a closed three-manifold, and this closed three-manifold is this branched double cover of S3 branch number K. And then this three-manifold comes with a natural projection map to the three-sphere, and away from the knot K, this projection map is just going to be an ordinary two-fold covering, and in the neighborhood of a knot, or if you have the knot here, then on a disk orthogonal to the knot, this projection map is conjugate to the self-map of the complex unit disk which sends Z to Z squared. So that's an explicit construction of the branch double cover of the three-sphere branch number knot K.
Stefan, what is the category, the decategorification of this theorem?
There's no good decategorification because the gradings don't match up. I think it's something like that the determinants of the knot can be computed in two different ways, either by evaluating the Jones polynomial with some value or the Alexander polynomial. So there's no good, gradings aren't really preserved under this vector sequence. Okay, so let me just briefly sketch how this theorem is proved. So the first thing that Oshoff and Salmon noticed is that the two theories agree on unlinks. If you have a crossingless link diagram, then the two theories are just the same. The basic Kovanov homology of an entropy with unlink is just A tensor n minus 1, where A is a two-dimensional vector space. And the same is true for the Hegar-Fleur homology of the branch double cover of an entropy with unlink. Because actually, the branch double cover of an entropy with unlink is just the connected sum of n minus 1 copies of S1 plus S2. The Hegar-Fleur homology of S1 plus S2 is two-dimensional, so that's basically why you get this here. So they agree on resolved diagrams. And now, if you have a general link diagram, which has some crossings, then Kovanov homology is defined by considering the resolution field of the link diagram. So you arrange all the resolutions of your link diagram around the vertices of the cube, and then you replace the resolutions by vector spaces using this rule here. And then you get a chain complex homology, Kovanov homology. So Kovanov homology is gotten from the resolution field. And now Oshoff and Szabo realized that for Hegar-Fleur homology, you can do something similar. Namely, if you have three different links, L, L1, and L2, which differ as in the Kaufman bracket scalar relation, then the Hegar-Fleur homology groups of their branch double covers fit into the long exact sequence. And maybe this may be surprising, but somehow the idea is the following. Suppose you have a rational tangle, you replace a rational tangle by some other rational tangle. For example, you have this rational pattern, then cross it, you replace it by a horizontal smoothing. Then what happens in the branch double cover is that you take out, you remove the solid torus, and you glue the solid torus back in differently. So basically, changing the resolution from, for example, crossing to horizontal resolution corresponds to doing surgery in the branch double cover. And what Oshoff and Szabo realized is if you have three different three-manifolds, which are related to each other by surgery in a very specific way, then their Hegar-Fleur homology groups fit into a long exact sequence, and that's where this exact sequence comes from. And now what is this exact sequence good for? Well, what you can actually do is you can express the Hegar-Fleur complex of this guy here as a mapping cone of a map between the other two complexes. And so can we kind of resolve crossings or replace crossings by mapping cones? And if you do this for every crossing, then you get a resolution cube which computes Hegar-Fleur homology. And now, Roger Pinsabo realized that you can put a filtration on this cube such that the associated graded complex is Kovanov complex, and the filtration then reduces the desired spectral sequence from Kovanov homology to Hegar-Fleur homology of the branch double cover. So this is basically how the proof is resolved. And now, today I would like to tell you how we can generalize this spectral sequence to tangles and to three manifolds with boundaries. So I would like to have a local version of the spectral sequence. And first I need to say a few words about discuss some local versions of Kovanov homology and local versions of Hegar-Fleur homology. So in around 2006, Chen and Kovanov realized that we can extend Kovanov homology to invariant for tangles. And so this construction is based on certain algebras which also appeared in the work of Katarina Strockman in similar contexts. And so this Kovanov tangle invariant does the following. If you have endpoints, and to endpoints, just the integer n, positive integer n, we associate to some algebra, which is, has also some gradient on it, so it's a gradient algebra, and I call it the platform algebra. So whenever you have endpoints, you associate an algebra. And whenever you have an n tangle, so entangled with n top endpoints and n bottom endpoints, then you associate some complex of bimodules over this algebra, which you can you can also do as a Dg bimodule. And it turns out that this is invariant, is a generalization of ordinary cohomology. So basically, if the tangle has zero endpoints, then this is just ordinary cohomology. So this is local version of cohomology. Of course, there are other ways how you can define cohomology for tangles. For example, there is this construction of Barnard-Town, which is basically related to this construction in some sense, at least as strong as this invariant. And also, this is local Kovanov homology, and then there is also a local version of Hilbert-Fleur homology for non-closed free manifolds. This is so-called ordered Fleur homology, which was discovered by Lipschitz, Oswald, and Dylan Thurston around 2008. And what they did is the following. So given any parameterized closed surface, they associated some DG algebra, which is usually called the strength algebra, and given a bordered three-manifold, which has whose boundary consists of two parameterized surfaces, f minus and f plus. So to this they associated, some infinity bimodule over the algebra associated to f plus and the algebra associated to f minus. So maybe let me briefly say what I mean by a bordered three-manifold. So what's bordered three-manifold? Now this is a for the three manifolds were introduced by Lipschitz, Oswald, and Thurston. Basically, for the three manifold is the following. So you have some three manifolds by three, and it has two boundary components, to draw like this, and each boundary component is a closed oriented surface. Let's call this one F plus, and this one F minus. And these surfaces are parametrized. Their parametrized essentially means the following. So what's a parametrized surface? Well, it means that embedded in this surface you have a coarse diagram. Let me draw a picture. Here's a parametrized surface. So it's a closed oriented surface. And in the surface you have some coarse diagram. So you have some circle with a couple of coarse attached to it. And what you want is that the circle of the port diagram is oriented and it bounds a disk on the first state, on the surface. And the chords are in the complement of this disk. And if you remove the disk, then you get a surface with boundary, and you want that this surface with boundary deformation retracts to the port diagram. That are sort of the conditions. And the surface with such an embedded port diagram is called parametrized surface in the sense of Hilbert-Fleur. Okay, so these are these local versions of one from the Hilbert-Fleur homology. Now, I want to discuss a few properties of this invariant. So maybe first I should say that there's another way of looking at this construction. Instead of regarding this as an algebra, you could view it as a category, namely as the category of, let's say, the left modulus of this algebra, or maybe the category of projective left modulus of the algebra. Likewise, you could regard this in this category, namely as some category of infinity modulus of the algebra. And instead of regarding this in this bimodule, we could regard it as a functor, namely as the functor given by tensoring in this bimodule, the same here. So basically, you can also think these constructions as associating, for example, categories to points and functors to tensors. Okay, so now I want to discuss a few properties. First of all, both Kovanov homology for tangles and for the Fleur homology behave nicely under gluing. So if you have two tangles, T and prime, which you can compose this technique vertically on top of each other, then the invariant of the composed tangle is just the tensor product of the invariants of T and T prime. And then there's a similar gluing for the Hilbert-Fleur homology, for the Hilbert-Fleur homology. Another property that both of these theories have is they're both equipped with an additional gradient. So this this Kovalev platform algebra actually decomposes into algebras which are called A to K, N minus K. That's basically how it's defined, so it's defined as a direct sum of algebras. And the same is true for this algebra that which is also first associated to a surface. Which corresponding with the Kovalev invariant decomposes into homogeneous pieces, same for the quartic version of the. And these gradients will be important in this talk, and therefore I want to say a few words about the interpretation of these gradients. So let me first start by explaining the meaning of the gradient of the Kovalev sign. So to explain the gradient of the Kovalev sign, I have to actually tell you what so explain what the Kovalev category variant actually decategorizes. So somehow this algebra, this platform algebra, is a category, or the Grothendieck group, the complexified Grothendieck group of this platform algebra, can be naturally identified with V tensor N, where V is the two-dimensional fundamental representation of quantum tensor 2. And moreover, the functor, so the functor of the tensor with the Kovalev invariant of the tangle T corresponds to the just the entire life invariant associated to the tangle T colored by the fundamental representation of quantum tensor 2. And now, of course, SL2 representations correspond to decomposing to weight spaces, so you have this weight space decomposition. So if they decompose into eigenspaces from the action of the quantum group generator K, and it turns out that this decomposition of the algebra into these pieces, AK and minus K, corresponds to the weight space decomposition. In fact, if you take the Grothendieck group of the algebra, the platform algebra AK and minus K, then you get just the weight space for weight n minus 2k to be considered. So this quantity n minus 2k should be viewed as a weight. So that's the meaning of the k gradient on the Kovalev side. Now, what's the meaning of the k gradient on the Grothendieck side? Well, first of all, so this algebra, as I said, is defined as a direct sum of these sort of homogeneous pieces. And this homogeneous piece is actually sometimes called the K-strand algebra, because it's an algebra which is generated by certain pictures, and these pictures are decorated by K-strands. It will give some more details later, but basically, as far as the definition of that, A of K is concerned, this K refers to the number of strands that you have. But there's also a geometric interpretation of this K. Namely, you can think of this K as corresponding to a spin C structure on the surface F. More precisely, the integer 2k minus n is the Chern number of the spin C structure on the surface F. So basically, the ordered Fleur complex associated to a three-manifold Y decomposes according to spin C structures of Y, and somehow this K gradient that you have here is just a coarse sort of version of the spin C gradient. So basically, instead of decomposing this three-manifold according to the Fleur homology group according to the spin C structures, you sort of forget what the spin C structure does in the interior of the three manifolds and only look at the restriction of the spin C structure to the boundary, and this gives you the third number of the spin C structure to the boundary, which is this K gradient. So this is the meaning of the two gradients. So let me summarize. So both one of multiple tangles and for the Fleur homology, the functor vary for tangles and three manifolds, and both theories are equipped by this additional gradient. And now, in the next couple of minutes, I would like to formulate a conjecture relating to the two theories, a conjecture which is supposed to generalize the Oswald Sauer spectral sequence. And so let's suppose we have some tangle T, which is contained in the cylinder E2 plus I. And then I know by sigma t, the branch double cover of E2 plus I branched along this tangle T. And I will actually regard that this branch double cover as a bordered three-manifold by regarding that, so that I will assume that the preimage is of the preimage of the top of this cylinder is a parametric surface, but also the preimage of the bottom of this surface in the branch double cover is a parametric surface. Now the natural conjecture is that local Kovalev homology and local Hilbert Fleur homology should be related as follows. First of all, there should be a spectral for each k degree. There should be a spectral sequence going from the platform algebra which appears in the Kovalev construction to the homology of the strands algebra, which is in the context of quantum cohomology. And for every tangle T, there should be, and for each K degree, there should be a spectral sequence going from the quantum tangle invariant to the homology of the bordered floor invariant of the branched down homology. So that's sort of a conjecture. Now, there are some problems with this conjecture, because the way I stated it is, it's not quite, it doesn't quite make sense. There are two problems. First of all, here, the surface F is assumed to be a branch double cover of a disk branched over some points. So it's a surface with boundary. But in the setting of bordered floor homology, you never consider surfaces with boundary. You always consider closed surfaces. That's the first problem. And the second problem is that basically, so here we have, this is the honest algebra, but AFK is a Dichy algebra, and the homology of Dichy algebra is in general an infinity algebra. But it's not clear what is meant by a spectral sequence of the infinity algebras. Somehow the statement just doesn't make sense in this case. But both problems are not really basically non-issues, because first problem can
say, did you say the homology of a Dichy algebra is an infinity algebra?
Yeah, if you have a Dichy algebra, then there's always an infinity structure on the homology, such that the homology equipped with this infinity structure is an infinity quasi work. So what we do is, instead of working with ordinary bordered floor homology, we use a theory which is called bordered sutured floor homology. This is a variant of bordered floor homology which was discovered by Wilm and Sarov. And in bordered sutured floor homology, the surfaces that you consider have boundaries, they have non-empty boundaries. Now, what about the second problem? Well, the idea is that usually the spectral sequences come from filtrations. So the idea is that when you should be looking for a spectral sequence instead, or you should consider to look for a filtered infinity algebra. Okay. So look for a filtered infinity algebra, which has the property that if you take the associated graded infinity algebra, then you get something which is quasi-isomorphic to the Kabanov platform algebra. And if you take the unfiltered underlying infinity algebra, you get something which is quasi-isomorphic to the Strands algebra for the floor homology. So basically the picture is like this. If you look for some filtered infinity algebra, and the associated graded algebra should be quasi-isomorphic in the infinity sense to AK and minus K, but this is the associated graded. And the underlying unfiltered algebra should be quasi-isomorphic to the Strands algebra AFK. So that's really what you're looking for. And likewise, you have a tangle, then you want to find some filtered bimodal associated graded bimodal. This quasi isomorphic K of T and two.
So you're defining that to be a spectral sequence?
I sort of define it like
that. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's not.
I'm not making this definition explicitly, but that's just the way.
That's what you want.
Okay, and so then one can reformulate the conjecture as follows. So now this conjecture basically just states what I just explained. So instead of looking for spectral sequences, we should look for filtered infinity algebras and filtered bimodals. So this is now a reasonable conjecture, but the question is this conjecture also true? And let's start with a simple case. So let's start with case k equal to 0. K equal to 0 means that on the Kabanov side, you're in the top degree in plane space, and on the Hegar-Fleur side, you're looking at the zero strand algebra. And in this case, the conjecture is actually true, because it turns out that for k equal to 0, the platform algebra is just equal to f, and the zero strand algebra is also equal to f, where f is just the Brown field. Maybe I should say that in this talk, the Brown field is always assumed to be equal to set modulo 2 set. So basically, this bordered floor theory has not yet been defined over the integers. And so the algebras are just the same, so the level is not going to prove anything. And now it turns out that the zeroth degree part, the zero strand part of the bordered floor bimodule of the branch double cover of T is just
equal to such of floor-mology. Such of floor-mology is a variant of Hegel floor-mology, which was discovered by Albert Hillers around 2006. And in this Albert Hillers, you can hear of Ellie and myself that there's that for every tangle T, there's a spectral sequence converging from the K equal to zero part of the Kolanov of tangle invariant to the such of floor-mology of the red shot. So that's something we proved earlier, basically by limiting the proof of Oshot itself, so it's sort of just a variant of the Oshot spectral sequence. And the reason why this theorem was interesting is because we were able to use this theorem to prove that Kovanov's characterification of the reduced M-colored Jones polynomial detects the lambda whenever n is greater than 1. And I think I don't have time to explain how these two theorems are related to each other. Maybe just give a sketch. So if you have so the idea is the following. So why should these two theorems be related to each other with the theorem of the Grolle? Well, the point is if you start with some one-one tangle T, whose closure is some log K in the free sphere, then this reduced M-colored Kovanov homology of the log K is basically just defined as, or can be defined as, the zero degree part of the Kovanov homology of the NK of this tangle. So basically, this term here is related to this thing. And such floor homology of the n-tangle of the tangle can be related to not floor homology, and it was already known that not floor homology detects the young knot, so basically we could just use this spectral sequence to then conclude that this variant also detects the young knot. Okay, so the conjecture is proven for k to 0, and it's even interesting, it has interesting implications. Now, what about the k equal to 1 case? Well, in the case of k equal to 1, the conjecture is unfortunately not correct. Because, first of all, the one strand algebra is not, it's an honest algebra, so it's not the DT algebra, it's an honest algebra that has no differentials. So the homology of the algebra is equal to the algebra itself. But moreover, it turns out that the dimension of the platform algebra if the k equal to 1 is smaller than the dimension of the one strand algebra. So there can be a spectral sequence going from this to this. So the conjecture is false for k equal to 1. Now the question is, how can we repair this conjecture? Here's the idea. The idea is that instead of working with the original platform algebra, with the original a, k, and n minus k, we should just replace this algebra by some derived equivalent algebra, which has a bigger dimension, and which is somehow related to the Strands algebra. So if we replace this algebra by this algebra a and k, by some other algebra, which is derived equivalent to A and K. Or derived equivalent just means that the derived patterns in the two algebras are equivalent. And you replace the Kovanov tangle invariant by its image under the derived equivalent. So instead of regarding the Kovanov tangle invariant as the invariant in the derived pattern of AK M minus K, you regard it as an invariant in the pattern of PK M minus K or PK M minus K is this derived equivalent. But we also have a conjecture on what this derived equivalent algebra should be. Okay, so we can prove that this conjecture is true for k equal to 1, and at least in the case where the tangle is raised, the remaining part of this talk I want to tell you how we prove this conjecture. So this is Stoneberg, as I mentioned, doing a room and it's. So we use two things to prove this conjecture. On the Kovanov side, we actually use the fact that there's a construction by Kovanov and Seidel which provides somehow a better description of this Kovanov tangle invariant, at least for k equal to 1. And on the Hegel-Fleur side, we use a reinterpretation of the Fleur homology in terms of certain partially radical time patterns, and this interpretation was found by Bernard. Okay, So first, I want to tell you a few things about this Kovanov-Seidel construction. So what Kovanov-Seidel did was basically to
to a collection of m-plus-1 points in the standard unit distance associated with some algebra, which is called E subscript m. And this algebra is defined as a quotient of pattern of a figure, with different definition later. And to a braid on n strands, the associated each bimodule or this algebra just some complex of bimodules. And it turns out that this algebra AM is really to the isomorphic to the page into one part of the type of algebra, and the quantified entangling variant is just the page into one part of the one of the entangling variant that I talked about before. So we can use these two guys instead of the original variant. So so let me give you the definition of this algebra AM. So let's gamma and the quiver that you see here. So by quiver, I just mean the oriented graph. So we look at this quiver, which has m plus 1 vertices, which are loaded from 0 to m. And there's an arrow going from I to I plus 1, and also an arrow going from I to I minus 1. And then recall that the path through the quiver is just defined. So whenever you have a quiver, you can define its path through. And the path through is defined as the vector space, which is spanned by all paths in this quiver, whereby a path, I just mean a sequence of edges such that the starting point of each edge is with the end point of the previous edge. So these are the vector space generators of this pattern. And the multiplication is given by concatenation of paths whenever the paths fit together, and if the paths don't fit, then the product is just zero. For example, in this quiver here, you could consider a path that first goes from vertex 0 to vertex 1, and then from vertex 1 to vertex 2, and then same back to from vertex 2 to vertex 1. And in general, I will denote paths by the edges that they traverse. So for example, this path starts at, vertex. So if you have a path, then I denote it by the sequence of vertices that it traverses. So this path starts at vertex 0, then goes to vertex 1, vertex 2, and then back to vertex 1. So this would be my notation for this path. And now, the Kovanov side algebra AM is defined as a quotient of the pattern of this figure here by the relations that you see here. The first relation is that if you have a path that goes two steps to the right, then the path is 0. Likewise, if you have a path that goes two steps to the left, it's also 0. If you have a path that starts at vertex I and then goes one step to the left, and then to the right and the back, one step to the left, and this is the same as first going to the left and then to the right. And also the path 0, 1, 0 is equal to 0. So this is the definition of this algebra AM. It turns out that this AM is a finite dimensional algebra. It's very easy to write down the basis for this algebra. And now this algebra has some obvious idempotents, namely the constant path at vertex I is an idempotent in this algebra. And these idempotents are all redundant to each other, and their direct sum is equal to the identity element of the algebra. And these idempotents induce decompositions of the algebra AM viewed as a module over itself. So viewed as a left module over itself, decomposed projective left modules PI, where PI is defined as the module that you get by multiplying the algebra with the ith idempotent to the right. So think of it as being the span of all paths which end at vertex I. And likewise, you have the decomposition of AM with this right module over itself into decomposable objectives, which are called I sub P, and I sub P is just the span of all paths that start at vertex I. So you have this decomposition between these most three projective modules. And now, how the quantified silent associated variance is great? Well, if they have the identity great, they just associate the algebra AM itself viewed as a bimodule of itself. And if you want the elementary temporal relief algebra generators, they associate this bimodule PI into I P, which is just this was the projective left module, which is projective right. And now to the I generator of the I plus M plus 1 strand break group, we associate this two-step complex. So in the green minus 1 module, green minus 1 of this bimodule, and this below of this bimodule. And likewise, for the opposite crossings, they also associate the two-step complex. And more generally, if a braid is a composition of elementary braid generators, then the associated bimodule is just the tensor product of the bimodules associated with the elementary generators. So this is how this braid invariant is defined. And actually, Kovanov and Simon do more than just that. they have some embedded curve.
Are those maps in the, for the chain complexes, elementary chain complexes, are those curves? I mean, is that, are they unique?
I don't know how unique they are. I mean, it's, they're very natural. I mean, this one is just concatenation of paths, and the other one is sort of dual to beta ions, for instance. So if you have a curve in the disk, whose interior avoids the punctures, and whose endpoints are either on the punctures or on some fixed point in the boundary, then to this curve, they associate some complex projective left skills, which you can do as an element of the boundary commutative pathway of great projective LM modules. And I won't explain this construction, I won't tell you what LC is in general, but just for this particular path here, so if you have a path going from the ith vertex to the ith plus first, with vertex A of I minus 1 to vertex A of I, then to this path they associate the inducible projective PI. And I will refer to this path as a compact curve. This will be, so PI, these PIs will be called compact curves. And now note that you can think of this algebra as being equal to the ring of endomorphisms over of itself with the left module. So you view AM as a left module or itself, you consider all AM linear endomorphisms, the ring of these endomorphisms is equal to AM. Why is this true? Well, it's just true because every endomorphism is given by right multiplication by some element of the algebra that you have this equality. And now AM as a left module splits into these endomorphisms. This means that this endomorphism ring can be written as direct sum of morphisms from the other chain. And if you want, you can also interpret, because these are protective modules, you can also interpret this common of PIPJ as X PIPJ. Well, of course, the PI and PJ are the complexes that are associated to this common curves that I had in the previous slide. So you can think of this as being the X algebra associated to the complexes corresponding to the common curves PI and PJ. Now, why is this interesting? Well, Kovalev and Seidel showed that the dimension of this X algebra is equal, is related to Fleur homology. In fact, it is related to, so it's equal to the dimension of a certain morphism set in the partially wrapped Foucault category of the branch double cover of the disk branch along m plus 1 points. Maybe I'll say more about that later. So somehow, the dimension of this morphism set, so to speak, is somehow related to Fleur homology. And, however, it turns out that in some sense, if you want to compare Kovalev-Seidel construction to Gordon-Fleur homology, then we shouldn't be looking at these compact curves, these curves PI that they had before. Instead, we should look at curves looking like this. So we should look at the curve 2i, which starts at the boundary, which goes to the I branch point. And because Dernier Roux observed that these curves are somehow related to the one-strand algebra, or to the K-strand algebra in general, of Gordon-Fleur.
Can you go back one slide? Is that's just the Foucault category, partially Foucault category surface.
That's the branch double cover.
Yeah, I mean, just with the Lagrangians of these, they're just curves themselves.
Right.
And there's a corresponding statement for the symmetric products.
I don't know whether there's a statement for the symmetric products, but there is a statement for things in higher dimensions of that manifold. So basically, if you set it to the partially wrap for pi category of the branch double cover, you could look at, so this branch double cover of the disk is of course just two dimensional, just the surface, but instead of looking at the surface, you could look at some Lefschetz translation over the disk, and you could look at Lagrangian disks, and Lagrangian is two spheres in the Lefschetz translation that they have, which are also naturally corresponding to the PIPJ, and that their morphism sets also have the same dimension. So the curves that you should be considering are these curves 2i. And it turns out that the complex that Kovalev and Seidel associated to such a curve PI is this complex here. But basically, the map from, for example, from PI, so the differential from PI to PI plus 1 is given by right multiplication. This is the one-step path that goes from PI plus PI to PI plus first vertex. And actually, these complexes are actually quite interesting because they are basically acyclic except the right most term. And in fact, they are projective resolutions of certain standard values. And now this motivates that instead of looking at the algebra AM, we should look at the certain infinity algebra, which is BM,
which is defined as the direct sum of x algebras of this proxenical domain that T. Because Q's eyes are projective resolution of the MI, you can also think of this algebra as being the homology of the endomorphism the algebra of Q, where Q is just the direct sum of all of these QI. And then, so this is the algebra that we should be looking at, which is this algebra instead of the original homologous algebra. If you want to get a comparison or a relation for the formula. And now, what we can show is that this and the morphism algebra is formal, which means that this BN is actually an honest algebra. It's not an infinity algebra, it doesn't have final multiplication. You can also show that the derived category of AN is isomorphic to the derived category of BN, or the infinity derived category of BN. And this means that instead of working in the original category, derived category of AN by the tools, you can work with the derived category of BN by the tools. So we can actually, it's actually quite easy to describe this algebra BN very explicitly, so it's not so abstract as it might seem. So the algebra X, M, I, and J is just zero. So it's BN must be somewhere with X, M, I, J, and X, M, I, J is just zero. If I is left, J is one dimensional, if I is J, it's two dimensional, if I is greater than J. And the multiplication is given by these rules here. Basically, this description still looks a little bit difficult, or a little bit hard to understand. But if you think of these indices as referring to rows and columns in a matrix, then you can also describe BN as follows. BN is just a matrix of is an algebra of lower triangular matrices, which have coefficients in this ring fx moduli x squared, and such that the diagonal edges are either 0 or 1. And now to get the connection between homology pretends and Bode Floor homology, we just need to relate this algebra to the strands algebra appearing in Bode Floor homology. So that's the goal for the rest of the talk. I want to say a few words about this former teacher version of homology, which is discovered by Bode Floor. So, to a parameterized sutured surface, Sarov associates some Ricci algebra, which is also called strands algebra. And to a bordered suture tree manifold, he associates some infinity binomials over this algebra. And I don't want to give you the definition of a bordered suture tree manifold, because that's very important, but I want to give you the definition of a parametrized sutured surface. So what's a parametrized sutured surface? Well, it's basically a surface that is gotten by starting with an open port diagram. So an open port diagram is just a bunch of arrows and a bunch of ports whose endpoints are in the arrows. And then you just thicken this port diagram to get the surface. And the surface together with the embedded port diagram is called the parametrized sutured surface. And there are some non-degenerate conditions. Now, the diagram that I drew here is quite specific. For example, you see that somehow the arcs in this diagram, the chords in this diagram, and these red chords are unnested in the sense that the first chord, the leftmost chord, goes from the leftmost point in the first arc to the leftmost point in the second arc. Then the second chord goes to the second chord in the first arc, second chord in the second arc, and so on. So this is quite special chord diagram, and it's actually the chord diagram that we need in our setting because this parametrized circuit that we see here can be viewed as a branch double cover of this picture here, branched along these 3 points. So this is the kind of parametrized circuit that we have to look at. Now, what's the strands algebra or the one-strand algebra associated with this chord diagram? Well, the one-strand algebra has three types of generators. The first generator, the first type is called rho ij and sigma ij and 1 ij. And these generators basically have a pictorial description. To get, for example, a generator rho ij, you do the following. You rotate this chord diagram that I had on the previous page. You rotate it 90 degrees and let the arrows point vertically upward. And then next to each arrow, you draw a box. This box and this box, and then to get the generator of low ij, you also assume that the ports are numbered from 0 to 2 from the bottom to top. And to get generator of low ij, you just draw an upward mirroring strand going from the I port to the j port in the upper box. And you do the same thing to get the generator sigma ij, but here this upward mirroring strand is in the lower box.
And if I is equal to J, you have this type of generator in the direction of 2, in terms the one in the horizontal strength in the upper box, and the horizontal strength in the lower box. And for I less than J, you don't have the generator. And the multiplication is just given by composing these diagrams horizontally. So basically, you have to remove these chords here. And they only drew these chords to remind you that where they were in the previous slide. So basically, you should remove all the check chords. And then composition is just given by composing horizontally. And if composition, if the diagrams don't fit together, then the composition is just zero. For example, the composition of rho ij with sigma jk is always equal to zero. And so rho ij, the strand is the upper box in the sigma j is the lower box, so you can compose them. And now if you think about this, then you see that you can also express this algebra as a matrix algebra. Namely, you can think of this algebra as an algebra of four triangle matrices with eigenpotents in the ring f rho plus f sigma. F sigma over rho and sigma are two orthogonal eigenpotents. And again, the diagonal values are either 0 or 1. And now, recall that before the algebra that we had on the provider side to side had almost the same description. The only difference is that here we have this ring f rho plus f sigma, and here we have the ring fx plus f squared. So basically, to get the spectral sequence from here to here, we just need to define the expectation of this ring such that the associated ring is this ring here. And that's sort of easy to do. I mean, it's sort of one ring is actually the ring that you know from the one of the other one is the ring from mean homology. The filtration is just defined by the filter piece of degree minus 1 is 0, filter degree of piece 1 is just one dimension generated by the identity algorithm, the algebra for sigma, filter degree of piece 1 is the entire ring, and then the associated gradient is almost automatically equal to that square, and therefore you get this relation between this algebra BM, which is derived from the Kolmogorov side algebra and the one-strand algebra. So this is how the algebra is related. And then you can also relate the bimodals associated to a break. And to do this, we basically use a reinterpretation of course, secret homology in terms of partially radical Kayak hybrids. Basically, Gemmiaru observed that the algebra F1 BDU is the sum of homomorphism sets between QI and tilde and QJ tilde, where QI and QJ are these non-compact pairs that they have before. And the tilde means that we take the preimage of QI in the branch double cover of the disk. And basically, and similarly, the order of Sloan homology bimodal associated with the branch double cover of the break can also be expressed as a Hom set. And basically, what we have to do now is we have to understand these Hom sets. And this can be done by referring to standard facts about iPad, which basically we can use exact triangle of Seidel to show that the formal parameter associated with break group generator can have access to mapping code. And then so on the quantum Seidel side, the complex is associated to elementary break group generators, where we're also two-step complexes, which is similar to this complex. So basically, one just has to compare the two complexes to the identical one. Seidel side is completely different than this side here. It's not so easy, actually. It's just a this work, but it works, and then you get the spectral sequence going from the carbonic side or sort of the derived equivalent version of the carbonic side with the invariant associated break. The break is the two-term spectral sequence of the carbonic side thing, and the infinity term is the point-form multiple associated with the branch double carbonic side. And so
in Seidel's analysis of the Kayak category, I mean, I should do some. There's some kind of complications when you're dealing with the Hom space for Lagrangian with itself. I mean, do you see those types of subtleties arising on the Hom side?
I think, I've done steps, I don't know, but it's one thing that you do see is that, of course, these, for example, the infinity structure depends on how the spread elevations, and that's really happening here, so we have to make some choice. If you want to explicitly compute that. Because there are some interesting things. For example, this map here is actually an infinity morphism, which is higher order terms. The same thing happens on the bottom side. It's like when you apply this derived equivalence to the quantum table. But I'm not sure whether I can fully answer your question. And of course, there are some other things that you'd like to do. You could try to generalize these to arbitrary case. And I should say that there is related work by Lipschitz and also by Thurston, so maybe this point one will follow from their work, but I don't know. Another question is whether there's a geometry interpretation of this relation between one side. And then there is also the question, well, maybe I don't have time to explain this, but whether so it's known that the quantifiable representation of the break group so is a faithful, so the biomodular that we associate to a break is a complete invariant of the break. Then what we can also show is that if we take Cauchy's homology of the biomodular associated to a break, then we get something which is related to the closure of the break in analysis. And somehow try to possible to show that one can use this theory. Well, one can just use sort of command theory for links in NMI to detect functions and classes of things.
So, questions or comments?
So could you say again why the fact that the surface was not close, that was a problem?
Well, it just was a problem because in the original version of work for homology, they never considered not closed surfaces. In the original paper of Lipschitz of a person, we always assume that boundaries of three manifolds are closed surfaces. And then the three manifold, the guy that you're interested in is this branched double problem. Now, the surface that you're interested in is the branched double cover of a disk branched among n plus 1 points, and this is a surface with boundary. You just can't use, I mean, you can't really use the ordinary quartic fluoromology. Or maybe you could sort of formulate everything in the setting of the ordinary quartic fluoromology, but suture quartic fluoromology is just a more natural setting in which to study these things. It's not a really problem that the surface is boundary, just suggests that we should use suture quartic fluoromology instead of quartic fluoromology.
I guess a follow-up question to that one, I mean, so I don't know that there's a generalization for the Lanacetal bimodal for grades and S2s outside, but I mean, you might expect that, you know, do you have any idea how you would generalize that off for sort of the surface, the S2 grades?
I mean, one can sort of, one can sort of formulate this quote in the setting of quantum fluoromology. So this algebra, this is an algebra that, as I define it, appears in the setting of suture quantum fluoromology. But one can also read it as a subalgebra of an algebra that appears in the ordinary quantum fluoromology. Instead of, in the ordinary quantum fluoromology, you look at four items based on a closed circle, instead of having, in this picture, you would have to have arrows, you would have closed surface, the circles, and you would have base points in the circle. And then, in fact, you can recover the algebra that we used by putting two base points in the circle. So, problems like that. And then, so if you read the Yoru's paper on the connection between the pile categories and quantum fluoromology, he never talks about two to quantum fluoromology. So one can sort of interpret this. Is just working for suture quartic fluoromology. It's just a natural setting. I mean, it's not, don't want to look a big deal at it. It's just a natural piece for the suture fluoromology.
More questions? Comments? Let Frank speak again.